Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
All right, you're welcome back. Friday Night Racing is on the way with Don ahead of big weekend of the Irish calendar. We'll get to that a bit later on. We're going to have Off the Ball back as well, and we're going to talk to Gerry Thornley from Wellington ahead of the Lions second test tomorrow morning. So all of that good stuff to come. Will is back with us, and an interesting Kilkenny team name to take on Wexford in the qualifiers. A couple of interesting ones, including the return of Mick Fenley.
Yeah, it's a big boost for them. It's the first time that Michael Fenley will have played since he sustained that injury against Waterford last year in the All-Ireland semi-final replay. It caused him to miss the All-Ireland final. He had a setback ahead of their game against Wexford when he was expected to play some part, but it's going to be Michael Fenley's first start of 2017. He is named by Brian Cody in midfield. Four changes in all from the team that lost to Wexford in the Leinster semi-finals. Also coming in, Joey Holden, Joe Ling and Chris Bulger. So that's the Kilkenny team to play Limerick in the All-Ireland qualifiers tomorrow evening at the Gaelic grounds. Munster, meanwhile, have begun their search for a new director of rugby after Razzy Erasmus triggered a 6-month release clause in his contract ahead of a move home to South Africa. Erasmus led Munster to the Pro 12 final and the Champions Cup semis in the season just gone. He's set to become the Springboks director of rugby in late December. Mona McSherry has won a silver medal in the 200 metres breaststroke at the European Junior Swimming Championships in Israel. The 16-year-old from Sligo took almost 2 seconds off her previous lifetime best, so a new Irish senior record time of 2 minutes 27.44 seconds. McSherry back in the pool again tomorrow morning for the heats of the 100 metres breaststroke as she goes chasing a third medal at these games. New Sunderland manager Simon Grayson has given a 1-year contract to Ireland defender John O'Shea, now a veteran at 36 years of age. Grayson's former club Preston North End have confirmed the signing of Cork City defender Kevin O'Connor. The 22-year-old from Wexford will join his teammate Seanie Maguire in signing for the English Championship side, with the duo set to move on July the 24th. Arsenal forward Alexis Sanchez could be on the move as well. He says he knows where he'd like to be playing his football next season, but wouldn't confirm earlier today whether that will be at the Emirates or not next season. Busy enough evening in the League of Ireland. Of course, the teams who were playing last night in Europe not in action. Dundalk, in the meeting of second against third at the Carlisle Grounds, have taken an early lead. They're 1-0 up against Bray after 13 minutes of play. Limerick also lead against Drogheda, who haven't won in 10 games, as Limerick won Drogheda 0. Scoreless currently between St Pat's and Galway. Waterford, the leaders in the First Division, 1-0 up against Shelburne after 15 minutes. And it's scoreless after just 2 minutes of play between Wexford and UCD. Play also underway at the French Open as well. Adrian coming to a close now in the end of day two. It looks like there's only going to be one Irishman making the weekend. A lightning scare. Delayed play by about an hour. Peter Uihlein leads out in the course at 9 under par. Graham McDowell didn't do too well when he went back out. He's finished 3 over after a 5 over 76 today. Shane Lowry, Darren Clark also missing the weekend. But Paul Dunn looks like he's going to squeeze in at even par.
Good stuff. Thanks a million, Will, for that. Remember as well to check out our Facebook page, the Off the Ball Facebook page, where you can win a signed Lions jersey from our Off the Ball Lions event last night. Willie John McBride, Keith Wood, Brian O'Driscoll and others have signed that. So check out the Facebook page. It's all self-explanatory. It's all up there. And we're going to announce the winner on tomorrow's show. But at that point, we shall know where the series sits between the British and Irish Lions and New Zealand. The first second test is on in Wellington tomorrow. And in the Windy City is the Irish Times' Gerry Thornley. Morning, I suppose, as it is your time there. Gerry, how is the Windy City for you?
It's going to turn nasty today. Apparently, there's a nasty front coming in today, which is a real shame, and that's going to have a big impact on the match. It's been a lovely few days actually in Wellington, and it's not been that windy, but today it's meant to live up to its name.
A lot of the conversation, obviously, this week, and certainly here, I'm not sure about down there, but it's been dominated about this Warren Gatland, Steve Hansen stuff, and the peripheral stuff, really, from the New Zealand Herald and the clown portrait and all that kind of thing. It has meant a bit of a lack of actual match analysis, and there's been plenty of changes across both teams, and the Sexton Farrell access for the Lions is maybe the most interesting of those. It's going to definitely have plenty of Irish fans out of their bed, out of the scratcher in the morning. What are the noises down there from the Lions, and conversely locally, about what that partnership will bring and how that will impact on the game?
Well, I think, Adrian, it's very much a case it will give them two playmakers. It will put more passing onto their game, because Ben too has many strengths to his game in carrying and tackling and so forth, but passing wouldn't be one of them. As we saw in the first test, when he hardly passed the ball at all night. Whereas this gives him passing, but most of all, it gives him a very strong kicking game. So can sweep either side. They should be able to, with two good right-footed kickers and two left-footed kickers around the back line, got lots and lots of options. So when it comes to playing territory, they should be quite good at that. The problem with that is, of course, if you just keep giving the ball back to New Zealand, they're liable not to give it back to you. and you're doing an awful lot of tackling. But it does give them a stronger kicking game. I think the concern would be that, given the foul weather forecast, it might have been more of a night for Ben Teal to truck it up and to take on Sonny Bill Williams physically, because he's very much a key player for the All Blacks on a bad night. He was even on a good evening in Eden Park last weekend. I imagine he will be even more so for this test, given the weather, that he'll be asked to take it up. He didn't offload that much. He was just used very much kind of like, ironically enough, I suppose you could call it Warren ball. It was, you know, shades of Jamie Roberts trucking up continuously for Wales. And it was quite effective along with the other forward one-off runners of Aaron Smith. And maybe Ben Teal might have been the man to help, you know, the Lions stymie that and stop the All Blacks generating momentum. Owen Farrell is known for many things, and he's a competitive, feisty little player like Johnny Sexton. But he wouldn't be in the league of Ben Teal when it comes to tackling.
So, like, it's from what you're saying, is almost an element of a defensive gamble by Warren Gatland there, which is not a good position to be in against a team of the quality of the All Blacks.
Well, I don't know. Would he have done this if the Lions were 1-0 up in the series?
Interesting.
He certainly didn't do it for the first test when they were nil all. I think to a degree the Lions' hand has been forced, but if that's the 1-0 down, they're chasing the series, and they're chasing a very improbable comeback series win in New Zealand. But certainly they're chasing an even more improbable, just a one-off win against New Zealand. They haven't lost at home to anybody since 2009 against South Africa. I mean, people go on about Eden Park being a fortress, but to be honest, of course, New Zealand as a country is a fortress for the All Blacks. They're the best team in the world for nothing, and it's built usually on a very strong home record, like I said, going back 8 years. So I guess to a degree their hand has been forced. They have to chase the game and the series from the position they're in. I think also that their hand has been forced to a good degree by Johnny Sexton's form. We came out here, Adrian. He was not in a good place after Leinster semi-final Pro 12 defeat to the Scarlets, where he had an unusually uncertain game, ineffective game, not like him at all. He came out here in the first match against the Provincial Barbarians, playing against outside Greg Laidlaw. It probably didn't help, but he didn't have a very effective game in the opener either. He missed a kick. He ran the ball a lot. Whereas when he came back on, he played again against the Blues off the bench and then was forced early on off the bench against Crusaders, came on after about half an hour. And that's the first time we saw the Sexton-Farrell partnership. And you swear they've been playing together all their lives. I mean, even though it was the first time they'd ever played together, it was so seamless. They alternated between first and second receiver. And Sexton, something seemed to click in his game. By the time the Murray game came around, he was attacking the game line from the off. His distribution was good. He was mixing it up with his kicking game a lot better. He was as competitive and physical in contact as ever. And it's like 3 games in 7 days. Ironically, something he wouldn't have done since his Racing Metro days in Paris seemed to just ignite his tour. And that performance against the Murray was undoubtedly the out-half performance of the tour. And I think he's just forced his way in on merit at 10.
Yeah, can I just ask you briefly, Jerry, before we move on, if Teo comes on at some point, is he coming on for Farrell or Sexton?
Well, we won't know until that happens.
What do you think?
And I would think it was entirely dependent on how Sexton and Farrell are going. But if both are going well, it's more likely to be for Farrell, because I think you'd rather your starting 10 to stay in situ rather than an additional reshuffle.
You've touched on the territorial thing, and like it was such a big aspect of the first game that the Lions couldn't get enough territory really to go ahead and try and win the game. And maybe the conditions are going to play into this slightly now as well. But there was such a significant split in that first test. From the Lions' point of view, playing in their half, and when you're conceding at the rate that they have been, including the 31 points obviously during the week, you can't win from those positions. Are we going to see, and maybe the conditions now dictate this, but are we going to see Sexton kick the corners and try to craft the Lions into a position there rather than have to go through the hands and bash it up through the forwards?
Well, they'll have to mix it up, but I think what you will see, if you're looking back at the first test, Conor Murray's box kicking was actually very good, and some of the chasing was quite good as well. And Ben Smith struggled in the first quarter, but that remarkable player, Bowden Barrett, goes from being the best out half in the world to probably one of the best fullbacks in the world either, just like that, like seamlessly. He goes back to fullback and he tidied up and he covered for Rico Ioane very well. I think certainly they'll want to get after, they'll want to test the All Blacks wingers. If it's going to be a very swirly, windy night, they're both relatively inexperienced. Certainly Ioane, that was his first test last week. He was hardly tested in the air at all. So I think you'll see a few bombs, definitely, and if space permits. But so often teams sweep so effectively now, there isn't always that space. You might well see some long kicks to the corner as well by Johnny, and not him, by Owen Farrell, and then you've got a left-footed option in Daly and Jonathan Davies as well. So I think it does seem as if the Lions are equipped for a very strong kicking game, certainly, yeah.
Yeah. The New Zealand changes, obviously, they're a lot less drastic and partly driven by injury. The Lions changes maybe more tactical and represent something of a different approach from Aaron Gatland. Some, obviously, have been very critical of Sam Warburton, particularly in what he brings to the party. What does he bring, Jerry, and how do you think he impacts on this game tomorrow in a way that Peter Romani didn't or wouldn't?
I think, certainly as captain, I think everything would go through him. The Lions players could be heard on the referee's mic engaging with Jacko Piper on a fairly regular level, and he didn't take too kindly to it.
Right.
Sean O'Brien was in his ear, Johnny Sexton was in his ear, Conor Murray was in his ear about being targeted, understandably so, at the end of the first half. I think you'll hear only Sam Warburton's voice on the wrestling. That's for starters, okay. Even. As for his performance on the pitch, his leadership, it certainly gives the Lions two open sides. We were a little bit surprised, but it made perfect sense to hear Sam Warburton yesterday talking about the fact that this was the first time he was ever going to play with Sean O'Brien, because of course they're normally rivals for the number 7 jersey. Off the top of my head, I think O'Brien came on for Warburton in the second test 4 years ago, and then replaced him from the start of the third test. But anyway, so give them 2 sevens. They should be better over the ball. He is a very physical player. It freshens up the back row. I think you'll see Warburton being a prominent defender, stepping up to stop these one-off runners that we talked about off Aaron Smith last week that the All Blacks used so effectively. And I think it's his physicality over the ball and his tackling and, where possible, his carrying as well. That's what they hope that he will bring to the party. There is no doubt that here the Lions have gambled a little bit on losing out in their line-out, particularly with George Cruz not there, who had a poor game last week in the first test. He called the line-outs. Peter Romani helped, I think, steal 2 of the 4 that they won on the All Blacks throw. They won't be winning 4 All Blacks throws, you wouldn't imagine, this time around without Peter Romani there. So they have lost out a little bit in their line-out.
And, yeah,
sure.
And of course,
Peter Romani's athleticism around the pitch as well. Yeah.
And like another element of that conversation, that's a little bit of a gamble from Warren Gatland here, as you say, obviously having lost the first test. We'll have to see how that pans out. What way are you leaning, Jerry, in terms of how this is going to go? We've had lots of discussion about it here this week, and it's hard to get anybody falling down on the side of the lines. What's your feeling?
I think I've long since come to the view, Adrian, that if you go into any match involving the All Blacks, you just expect the All Blacks to win. And that way, if it doesn't happen, you'll be pleasantly surprised. You just did the best team in the world for a reason. If it hasn't been for Ireland's win in Chicago, I think there'd be 23 wins in a row at this stage. They're back-to-back world champions. They haven't lost at home in 8 years. They've dusted off the cobwebs against Samoa when they were rusty for the first 20 minutes. Came up another level against the Lions last week when Kieran Reid played his first match since the start of April and was absolutely phenomenal. And I would imagine players like Jerome Kina will only be better this week. I think Israel Dagg is a wonderful player. He could be every bit as good as Ben Smith at full back. Naholo gives them power and strength on the right wing. Just, you'd have to expect that their skill levels, you think back to last week, and for me, what sets them apart, not just from the Lions, from any other team in the world. I think the Lions were arguably the second best team in the world last Friday. It was a belter of a match. And had it been against South Africa or Australia, they'd be 1-0 up in the series now. Mm. But unfortunately for them, they're up against the All Blacks, the ultimate challenge. And you think back to that moment when Beauden Barrett had his kick blocked down by Conor Murray, turns, runs back, scoops the ball up with his right hand, veers away from Murray while transferring the ball to his left hand.
Beautiful.
And then works a switch with Ben Smith. And I'll tell you what, that and Cody Taylor's pickup from the long Israel Dagg pass.
No right to get that ball at all.
None whatsoever. Yeah. And then you think also Kieran Reid's unbelievable scoop off that scrum ball when Conor Murray kind of cheekily nudges the ball away from his grasp and he's falling down, he's cut it up. Those three moments of skill were, you know, allowing for the wondrous Lions try, are just why the All Blacks are the best, because they execute skills under pressure in that jersey. Because they're the best players in the world. And you'd have to imagine that regardless of conditions. I remember a really windy night in Wellington and a wet, miserable night in Wellington 12 years ago. And the All Blacks won 48-18. And we saw one of the greatest out-half performances of all time when Dan Carter scored 30 points 33 points, actually. And I think, if I'm right in saying, he came within inches of another try, which, given the way he was kicking anything, he would land a conversion from the car park that night, means he came within a whisker of scoring 40 points against the Lions. Mm. And Beauden Barrett is almost as good. And, you know, when he starts producing those moments I just talked about, it's like, it's kind of like, it's just so influential. What the mood music around the ground changed last week, and it's like all the All Blacks teams and players and their fans suddenly think, yeah, Bolden's on it. And yeah, when Beauden Barrett's on it, that means the best player in the world's on it. And that gives them a great chance. So I think for the Lions to win this would be extraordinary. Just really do. But I think they'll be way more competitive than they will be 12 years ago. It's a way better team. They'll be well prepared. They'll know what they're doing. And the weather might even be a bit of a leveler this time that it wasn't 12 years ago. And I think they'll be really, really competitive. Yeah. And I think it'll be a cracking match. It won't be as fluid, though, as last week. And I doubt we'll have to see the same scope for Liam Williams' counter-attacking game. I hope I'm wrong. I hope we do.
We'll cling to all that. Gerry, I didn't want to let you go without getting your thoughts. And I do appreciate that I may well be landing this on you, given the time difference there. It wasn't that it wasn't expected, but confirmation, probably overnight your time, that Razzy Erasmus is leaving Munster for the director of rugby position with South Africa. That came through to us overnight. And I wanted to get your thoughts on it. We haven't got very long, but I did want to get your thoughts on what it means for Munster and where they go from here.
Gosh, it's such a hammer blow, isn't it?
Yeah.
So disappointing. After he did so well, and Nienaber is going as well,
yes,
the defence coach, and the way everybody bought into his defensive system, it's just so disappointing. And it's going to mean another upheaval. It's going to be yet more changes at the top, and they've had enough of them lately, forced through tragic circumstances and everything else. And it's hard to know where they go from there. The only good thing is they do have this 6 months' notice to find a replacement. But the very fact that they're adhering to the terms of the contract and keeping Razzy Erasmus there until December suggests they, you know, they're going to need that window. That they're not sure where they go next.
Yeah.
It's very disappointing.
The reports being that the work has probably already begun to try and maybe for a number of weeks begun to try and find that person. But you, by the sounds of things, you expect Razzy to stay on until December, and then whoever that new person might be to come in at that point.
Oh no! If they find somebody before the start of the season, I think they'd be much more happier to let Razzy Erasmus go. It would be far preferable to have a new coach in place before the season starts.
Any thoughts
halfway through it?
Any thoughts on who that might be?
Like
there are the options within that people are speaking about. You know, the Andy Farrell option is obviously one of them. I mean, I think there's a lot of chatter amongst the fans in terms of the Ronan O'Gara, Paul O'Connell combination, which might be a bit too early for them.
I think it's too early for them. I think they would probably think that themselves as well. They have to cut their teeth as coaches. I'd be very surprised if they step to the plate this soon. And I would think that Andy Farrell leaving the Irish ticket a couple years out from the World Cup wouldn't be ideal either. So I think they're more likely to go foreign. It's why they did it in the past, and it's why Connell have done it, and it's why most of the provinces do it, really. You know, there are a lot of good coaches in the world, not least down here in New Zealand. Yeah. Not only are they the cutting edge when it comes to players, but the cutting edge when it comes to coaches as well. There are a lot of names banding around the hat for the Connacht job, if you remember, lots of speculation who was ultimately it was Kieran Keane, who most people wouldn't have heard of,
yeah,
but is really highly rated down here. He did a phenomenal job with Tasman in the provincial championship. And I think that, you know, you wouldn't know who it's going to be. But there are plenty of good coaches
certainly around the world,
New Zealand.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to ask me, Adrian, about the advent of two South African teams, the Pro 12. I'm very, very, very glad you didn't ask me about that, because I can hardly get my head around it.
We'll save that for another day, Gerry, when you're closer to home.
Yeah.
Listen, Thayer, thanks a million for taking the call. Enjoy the game.
Cheers, will do. Thanks very much.
Gerry Thornley there of the Irish Times is always catching up with us in all things rugby. We're going to get Gerry's thoughts post Test 2 as well, upcoming. But upcoming more immediately than that, ball back.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.